Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, everybody. It's great that you're here. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. It's great to have you here this morning with us. And Happy New Year in advance to each of you. And Merry Christmas. And then Happy Easter and Happy Deepavali and everything. Yeah, so it's great to be here with each of us. I want to thank Pastor Ben as well for leading us. And he's been a wonderful, wonderful ministry partner here at Suntec. Today, at this end of year message, I want to visit something that we identifies who we are as a church in Covenant. It's the whole issue of discipleship. But discipleship is not a one-off thing on a Sunday. Discipleship is daily. Now, there's a little phrase there at the bottom there that says, back to basics. Now, this phrase, if you have been in Covenant for a long time, is a familiar term. But yet, it may be distant for us because we haven't talked about this a lot recently. For others who are very new to Covenant, the phrase back to basics is new to you, and I hope that you will embrace it in your lives. That the whole idea of discipleship is really going back to basics. It's like a football player. Football players, when they warm up, they don't start shooting for goals and running around the field. No, they do all the basic stretches, do all the basic drills. And always revising those fundamentals help them play football at the highest level. As a Christian, it's the same idea. We need to always go back to basics. So in daily discipleship, we want to look at daily discipleship today in three areas: the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and the Daily Choice. Looking in the greatest book in the Bible, the book of, everyone say it, Matthew. Oh, you said it with so much confidence, I feel so affirmed now. I'm kidding. The book of Matthew. And so we want to start and dive in by looking at the Great Commandment in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40. This is what it reads. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the commands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. This passage has ironic contrast. There's irony inside here, and there's a contrast. It starts off with the expert in religious law. His intent, together with his friends, is to trap Jesus. Now, in the original Greek, the word used there is testing. And testing is seen as just like we have in our modern-day society today. We test people's knowledge on things. We test people's character. And so this word in the Greek has that element of not just testing knowledge, but testing character, most of all, testing values. What is in the heart? What do you know? Let me test you. In some forms, which we see here, there's a malicious intent. Behind that malicious intent is what? It's jealousy. And if he gets it wrong, death is something that is on the table for the religious leader. This is a question not to see knowledge per se, but to see how good this Jesus is. Is he going to come under my authority as the religious teacher? There's a pride behind this question. There's jealousy behind this question. And there's a lust for power. In contrast, we see Jesus. And his response is one filled with love. An invitation to know him. An invitation to walk and journey with him. An invitation to be his disciple. You see, the religious leader knew the word, memorized the word, but he never met the word. And here in this meeting of the word, Jesus, who embodies and is the word of God, he says, you must love the Lord your God. With what? With all your passion and desire and with your mind, the way that you think through things, the way that you relate with people. This is the first and greatest commandment. Not to be jealous or envious, but to have a heart of worship, to recognize who is truly Lord of all. Equally as important is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is intriguing because when we think of loving ourselves in our world today, we think of buying all the things for ourselves, accumulating things, maybe being self-indulgent. But we understand the first commandment to love ourselves is to allow God to love us and for us to love God. It is that daily communion and journey and walking with God in discipleship, in communion with God. Loving God is about loving ourselves because we allow God's love to be in us so that it gives us the capacity to love others. So as we love others as ourselves, it means that we are loving the way that God has loved us. We are sharing his love. We are living in his love, living in his power. This is the greatest commandment, is to love God, worship God. And through our lives, they see Jesus. Our lives are in him, for him, by him. See, on a daily basis, the devil tries to trap us as well. He tests us out. He tests our loyalty to God. Do we truly love God and worship him? But we have a choice. And that choice is to love God and love others. You see, what is love? Love is expressed on the cross of Calvary. The ultimate expression of love is Jesus dying for our sins. That even though we're sinners, Christ died for us. Think about the most offensive thing that's happened in your life. A person has been always getting on your back, annoying you, hurt you, betrayed you, curse you. We do that to Jesus because of our sinful state. Even the slightest misalignment to his will is considered sin. Time and time and time again, Jesus has forgiven us forever on the cross. He bore our sins and he died for us so that we may live in him, for him, by him. Love is expressed by giving, serving, generosity, hospitality. Love is seen in the time that we spend with others and with God. Listening, journeying in discipleship. But the most powerful expression of love, I'd like to suggest to us today, is forgiveness. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of those areas today in the modern church, in Christianity, is breaking up of relationships. The devil is on the path to destroy families, marriages, children and between children and parents, between friends, neighbors, colleagues, schoolmates, army buddies. The devil is on the prowl to catch us out and to make us feel miserable in relationship. But God has come with the expression of forgiveness on the cross. It is one of the most powerful expressions of love. And by his love, they will know that we are his disciples. This is love that God wants us to have for him with one another. The love of service, the love of time, giving, of fellowship and communion, and of forgiveness. See, the greatest commandment expresses authentic discipleship. Authentic discipleship is not about coming to CG and going, I want to be very honest, I don't like my boss. You say, my boss, he keep asking me to do things, but my boss very burdensome. I tell you, if you have a boss like that, you know what I mean. Being very honest, I'm being authentic. That's being honest. But honest discipleship, authentic, is coming before God authentically as we are. With all our sins and recognizing that we must humbly come before God, approaching His throne daily. It's not dramatic. Wake up in the morning, oh Lord Jesus, I confess all my... It's not that kind of dramatic thing. It's an acknowledgement that He's Lord. I cannot succeed in the Christian life without Him. I cannot love without Him. I cannot even love Him without Him. I need Him. That's authentic discipleship. Being accountable to a trusted brother or sister, that's authentic discipleship. To acknowledge my own flaws and to come and say, journey with me. We journey with each other because we recognize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. We all need His Spirit in us to enable us to live for Him, breathe for Him, and live by Him. There's daily discipleship in the Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All authority has been given to Jesus in the universes, places that we've never been to and never will get to. We only can see a glimpse of it on a telescope that is so powerful, but yet we can't see beyond it. There's a vast amount of space, and it all belongs to God, and even our own lives needs the authority of God. Is the Lord authority in your life? Is He your power in your life? Is He your purpose in your life? Is He present in your life? Or is He just in that position of, I need Him when I want Him, and when I have Him, I can use Him? Jesus has authority. He has power to transform not just a life, but families, communities, countries. Does He have authority? The world can scoff at it and say, Jesus have authority? Look at the chaos in the world today. Look at the marriages that are broken. Look at the pain that my friend caused me. What authority are you talking about? But you know, sometimes as Christians, as disciples of Christ, sometimes God wants us to see the chaos in life. He wants us to see the detriment of sin so that the church can stand and rise and speak authority into the situations through prayer and through action. To actually feel compassion like Jesus has for the lost. To actually see the great need in the world today, in the nations and in your neighborhood. Jesus is opening up the eyes of the church. Are your eyes open to see the authority of Jesus is required around the nations? See this verse here, this passage? It's like a bracket. It starts with the authority of Christ and the presence of Christ. He is with us. We are to bring forth the authority of Jesus into situations, the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus that transforms. And His transformation started on the cross of Calvary. It's already there in all His sovereign plan, but it's expressed explicitly for the world to see on the cross. And from the grave, He brings life and flourishing to nations. He says, go therefore and make disciples. He didn't say, go sit around in a church and talk about the Bible and see how good your knowledge is of Jesus. No, He's talking about meeting with your Creator, meeting and fellowshipping and communing and loving and worshiping Him. So He has the power to love and to give and to forgive, to bring restoration, the power power to bring life in the midst of death and destruction. He says, go teach new disciples, not very veteran disciples, but new ones, that people you've brought to the Lord, and disciple them so that they may disciple others. He says, I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I journey with you. I empower you. I have all authority. Walk in my authority, says the Lord. On a daily basis, make Jesus Lord so you can obey to go make new disciples. Remember, we are sent with Jesus. We're not just sent, but we are sent with him. You see, daily discipleship in the Great Commandment expresses authentic discipleship, and the Great Commission expresses intentional disciple-making. It's not one after the other. They go together. Authentic discipleship, intentional disciple-making is one idea, not two ideas. It's not that authentic discipleship is about Bible study and all that and CG, and intentional disciple-making is about outreach and evangelism and missions. No, it's about the Christian life, the discipleship life. It's about being this person, living in it, making God Lord of your life, and then wanting to come before the Lord, and wanting to bear your life before the Lord, and wanting the help and the authority of God to come into your life so that you can bring that authority to the nations. It's a daily pursuit of God that we are called to as a church. I'd like to share with us some true stories now. And I want to start, first of all, with a missionary that's been sent from Covenant EFC. Her name is Cynthia. She was worshiping at Suntec before she was sent by the Lord to Nepal. And I asked her a couple of questions and started with, what kind of challenges are you facing? How are you settling into Nepal? And she's been there for a couple of years. Let's hear from Cynthia in this video interview.
Hi, Pastor Matt. One big area is adjusting to the physical environment here. I was actually down with a cold and a cough. It was quite bad my first week here. Then later I realized that it was the air pollution that caused it. And that with the change of seasons, the pollution just get trapped to the ground. And so because we are in a valley area, so then it makes things worse. We have learned here is to maximize our trips out, get most of our things done, and then to always put on our mask. I get a little bit of the cabin fever because, wanting to avoid, the bad air outside. So still adjusting, going out for walks, when I catch like a good day with better fresh air outside. I'm also adjusting to the pace of life, learning to just take time to build a relationship, getting to know people here. Serena and Kelvin and then Alexis, so our own team. And then as well as our church partners, so the local believers. So one of the couples, they were very kind. They invited us to their house to have a meal. So it was a very warm, warm fellowship. We were able to just share and pray for one another. So receiving that kind of support was really helpful and great in this time of adjustment here.
Yeah, Cynthia, what's a discipleship lesson that she's learning?
Surprisingly, I think, it has been about thinking about finishing well. I was very honored to attend an ordination service for six Nepali pastor on my third day here. And then on the fourth day, the following day, I attended a retirement service of a couple. They are a Korean Bible translators. They've been serving in Nepal for the past 30 years. So I felt a lot, on one hand, really encouraging me, telling me that, he's at the beginning of my service here, my journey here in Nepal, at the ordination service when I witnessed. And then at the same time, I find that he's also challenging me to think about finishing well, even looking at the example of the Bible translators and thinking through for myself now, what does it look like to be steadfast, yeah, and to be true to God's calling for me here would involve, I think, being faithful to the call, as well as really going back always to the basics again, taking care of my walk with the Lord, yeah, my inner condition, my inner life, and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I think I have certain ideas. I have things I would like to do here. Yet at the same time, I want to be sensitive and I want to further clarify with the Lord, what He would want me to do here as well. Yeah.
We hear Cynthia's story. It's not just about intentional disciple making, but there's the idea of authentic discipleship, where the Lord is dealing with her inner life journey, where she's coming before the Lord each day and she's asking the Lord, what is the kind of transformative work that's required in my life so I have the capacity to give and to go and make disciples in Nepal? I'd like us to just pause and pray for Cynthia and the nation of Nepal. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you, Lord, for Cynthia's obedience to go and make disciples. We thank you, Lord, for her discipleship journey, where she recognizes that sometimes she might get ahead of what the Holy Spirit is directing her to. But we pray, Lord, that she will walk in obedience to you, learning to listen to you, learning to commune with you, learning to love you, God, so she has the capacity to love others as well. We pray for the nation of Nepal. May this nation come to know Jesus and worship him. And may the Nepalese people be discipled so that they may disciple others, and we see the church growing and the Lord's name declared in the streets of Nepal. We give you thanks and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue on by hearing more true stories. I'm going to invite three covenanters up. Their names are Fuwa, Anne, and Oliver. We'd like to invite them on stage as they want to share about the Sengkang journey. Can we invite them to come out? And let's give them some encouragement as they come forward. So we're going to share about Sengkang. Now, how many of you know, as they're coming up, that we are going to Sengkang in 2028? How many of you know about this? Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you know, very good. Just as well. Otherwise, panic. Huh? All right. So we are going to Sengkang. We have already, the Lord has given us land. I have to walk over here to the Sengkang. And I'm going to interview them. And first of all, I'm going to interview Anne and Fuwa. They are a wonderful couple running a very power-packed CG, Intergen CG. And so they're the CG leaders. And what I'm going to ask them is about outreach event that happened a couple of months ago during the Lantern Festival time. So I want to start with you, Fuwa, first. What and why and how did you get the CG to serve in this Lantern Festival outreach in Sengkang?
Yeah, I started with just sharing about we got the land in Sengkang. And all that I pick up, I can resonate with it, that the Lord wants us to be there, and there's been a purpose to reach out to the people there. And we also feel, we talk about it, and we discuss, we talk to share with the CG, and we feel that it should not be wait until then we do something. So we should be try, if we can, do something now to get to know the ground, know the people, so that maybe we can reach out to them easier when we are there. So it was one Sunday, Royston, who is our staff, know our position and our desires. So he come and talk to us about this New Hope Community Service. He want to organize this Lantern Festival, and they need help, people to do the logistics, and also get the involvement with the people. So it happens that my core team all around that meeting, that the service. So after the service, we straight away talk about it, and we all agree, okay, that's what we want to do, very much in line with what we see. So we all agree, and we told Roston, okay, on this Friday, that Friday will be on, and we cancel our meeting, and we go and help in that activity.
Thank you. So just mobilizing the CG, because in your heart you believe that this is what, the place where the Lord has called us to. And why not start now before we even shift in? Build rapport, build relationship with the people. And maybe share with us, what did the CG do for this particular outreach?
Okay, what we did was we provided the logistics. So we helped these are residents in the rental flat, mobility challenge, and they are single. Mm. So we help in the setup. We also distributed the bento dinner. Mm. We sat down, hear their stories, eat with them, and interacted. We even sing along. Our impromptu Vincent Chia DJ.
He loves to sing, that guy. Yeah.
We did lantern walk, and most of them cannot walk, so we accompanied them and, of course, bring them back to their units.
Yes, that's right. I forgot to say something, that this collaboration is done with New Hope, which is a voluntary organization that reaches out to the rental residents. And so maybe one bonus question I'd like to ask, which I did in the first service, and how do you think the CG grew from this outreach experience?
Actually, we got very good feedback. They like our interaction with them. And so I think we get to understand them and their needs, and we feel more identified with the situation. Mm. Yeah, we hope we can do more in this area.
Amen. Do more, yeah? And bring others along. I can see a lot of people here would like to join in, that kind of thing. There will be opportunities in the weeks and months to come. We will share that. The other thing that we're going to share is about the Sengkang building. What's been happening? We've got a team, a committee called the Sengkang Building Committee, very original name, and you can pray for them. Now, Oliver, he's the vice chair of this building committee, and he sits in it, not just sits in it, but he listens, he learns, and he leads us through a process, working with the architects that are appointed, called K2LD, with a user experience company that does strategy design. And so I'd like to ask Oliver a little bit about what's been going on. And first of all, share with us, how did we go about intentionally designing a church building for church usage?
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Matt. So actually, when we got the land, or we were informed about our successful bid on the 23rd of February, it's been a busy 10 months, basically. We formed a team. We spent a lot of time really uncovering what are the needs of our church, right? The different ministries, outreach, CGs, PNG, creation care, various ministries from all walks of life, and really to see what are also their aspirations. Right? What are the aspirations for Sengkang? Not just what are the current needs. I mean, people talk about things like, oh, we need more space. We need more rooms for kids. We need places to pray. We need places to do lantern festivals or whatever it is, right? Or we need solar panels on the roof. There are so many things that the church wants. Right, and how do we blend all these needs as well as the aspirations of our church in Sengkang? Because that forms a very good starting template for us to see how we can bring this forward, translating our covenant values and our purpose and our priorities into something that is a physical structure. So maybe I'll share one perspective. Before I share this perspective, I just want to ask all of us here in this room, how many of you were involved in the Woodlands building journey? Raise your hands. Okay, just like 3 hands, 4 hands? Yeah. So I see other Huamin there, and yeah, he's still confused. So I think most of us have not been through an actual covenant building journey. Right? I think 98% or 99% of us in this room hasn't been through a covenant building journey. Yep. And the last time when we did it was 2 decades ago. So this is a very exciting journey for us to pioneer a physical building. I did share in my previous seed fund updates on our targets and everything, but really to imagine what church could be as we celebrate our 50th anniversary and beyond. And I think that is really exciting, blending our needs as well as our aspirations. And one of the things that we have thought about is about how do we cascade our this idea of the Great Commission, right? Or the mandate, the mission that we talk about in Covenant ESC to a physical structure. And rooms are something that we need, the space to pray, the space to fellowship, the space to reflect. And so we'll be providing much more spaces than even Woodlands to allow for this intergenerational work. So I'll share more with Pastor Matt, I think, in the coming year ahead. But this is something that you can stay tuned. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Very exciting. We'll show you plans of the design of the building in February next year. Now, besides designing purposefully for the church usage, what about the building designed for community usage so we can be a church without walls.
Yeah, thanks. So really, when we got news of Sengkang, I think we were really surprised. Just for context, Sengkang is not just a town. It is a super town. Now, what do I mean by a super town? It's one of the largest towns in Singapore. It is not just large in terms of population. It's over 250,000 people living in that small stretch of land, but it's also very dense. So we get the opportunity to be planted, in the sense, right in the heart of, you know, the west of Sengkang, Jalan Kayu, to do that kind of work that, you know, we probably have not done for some time. I think those who were involved in BBJ or even Woodlands will get that. We will get now this opportunity to do this kind of work, and giving us this opportunity and allowing us to live out the vision. Pastor Mac talked about a few things, right? A church without walls. How do we build a church that welcomes the community inside and also allows the church to reach out to the community? So we are designing a church that has no perimeter walls. What does that mean? That means you can literally go to Sheng Siong, right? Go for shopping and then come into church and so on. So there's a porosity of movement, the access-free, kind of a barrier-free access for the community to interact with the church and the church to go out into the community. It's one of the things that we want to plan Sengkang towards. And we'll share more again in the years ahead. But that is really one example where we want to be a pulsating heart of the community. We want to be a church without walls. And because we are on a hill, we are like, in a way, the city on a hill. Yeah? I mean, our hill is not really a hill. It's a slope. But I mean, the idea is that we want to build a place where we can bring forth God's love, God's redeeming grace, to a place where there are just very few churches, you know, and the gospel, and the new, in a way, the new Singapore is shifting. Many new BTOs will be built. And these are not just for young couples. So yeah, we think of BTOs as young couples. There are actually many couples that are going to right size towards two-room flexi apartments, rental housing, and so on and so forth. So that is a lot of opportunities for intergenerational work to be done with New Life, with our outreach, with our CGs. And I think that presents a very interesting reorientation of our ministry philosophy as we go towards Sengkang in 2028.
Yeah. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you also to Anne and Fua. Can we give them a big round of applause for sharing these stories with us about Sengkang community? You know, so one of the things you've heard already is some of the work that we have already started in Sengkang, reaching out to people in the rental blocks. We just recently also had a Christmas caroling just last week, celebrating Christmas with some of the residents there. And we've also been engaging with our appointed architects, which you see on the left of your screen there. They're called K2LD. In case they sound like a Star Wars character, it was actually inspired by R2-DT. Yeah? So that's a true story. And so there are appointed architects, and they work together with this strategy design company. And so we've been doing something called a user experience, and we've engaged members of our congregation, not just from the East Centre, but also from Bukit Panjang and Woodlands. How do we purposefully build a building for the church usage? And we've also engaged with residents in Sengkang and asked them how we can engage with them as a church without walls, a church for the community. You know, today we've talked about daily discipleship in the Great Commandment, which is authentic discipleship, the Great Commission, which is intentional disciple-making. And I want to end with this idea of the daily choice. It's found in Matthew 16, 24 to 26. And Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What you do, the benefit, if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul, is anything worth more than your soul? Jesus says that if, it's conditional, if you choose, you must make a daily choice. Will you follow God or follow your own way? If you do, you must give up your own way. It's the idea of surrendering, giving in to the Lord. That's a basic in discipleship. Take up your cross, the symbol of sacrifice. We cross-reference to Paul when he wrote, we are the expression of worship is to be a living sacrifice. Something must die. Sin and our own way must die so that we can follow Him. He must take authority in our life. He must be Lord of our life. It's interesting what Jesus says here. You can hang on to your life, but you're going to lose it. You can gain the entire world. Imagine that. Everything. The whole world is your, literally your oyster. But the result is you're going to lose your own soul. That's the cost. The cost of self-indulgence. The cost of living for self. The cost is great. It leads to death. Because there is no life. You'll always seek it. But the very one who gives life is the very one that you and I are challenged to follow daily in our lives. You see, the daily choice expresses daily lordship in Christ. The Old Testament talks about the Lord our God, the Lord our God, the Lord our God. He was to be followed and worshipped and loved and declared beyond the nation of Israel. You know, in the modern church today, we sing lots of songs about how God is love. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. He cares for us. He provides for us. But very little emphasis on the idea of lordship. But lordship is going back to basics. He is first and foremost our Lord, our God, our authority in our life. And that authority is what must live and breathe and pulsate in our spirits each day. You see, on a daily basis, we need to make Jesus Lord so that you can go all in walking in authentic discipleship and intentional disciple making. We come to the close of 2024, a year where Covenant EFC was given land by the Lord in Sengkang. And over the last 10 months, the Lord is slowly growing and speaking to you about being part of Sengkang, having a vision larger than yourself. The question is, will you journey with the Lord to live something that is larger than yourself, for a purpose that is not just about discipleship, but is missional in nature, where we can bring transformation to families and community? Wow. It's often said that leaders live in the future, but disciples of Christ live in the future in Jesus. It is life in Him, for He is Lord of our lives. As we start the new year, how do you want to start? Partying and reveling? Seeing fireworks blown into the sky? I always try to figure it out. Why must I have fireworks on to start the new year? What are something else? Wow, the new year, wow, lihai, wow. And then it goes, just like that. 5 minutes worth, hey, new year. Then I'll go home, I'll go home. Life goes on. Perhaps the fireworks sometimes points you and I to look up to God and see the colors in the sky, the hope for the future, the redemption and the life given by Jesus Christ, amen? There's only one source of life. His name is Jesus. The question is, as we start the year, will you make Him Lord of your life? We have an opportunity this coming 1st of January on Wednesday. This Wednesday, 1st of January, we gather here at Suntec for a time of consecration. It's the best time, the best way to start the year. And we're going to be joined by our brothers and sisters at Bukit Panjang and Woodlands. And we're going to be linked by Microsoft Teams. Thank God for Microsoft Teams, yeah? And we're all going to be praying together. We'll be able to see our friends at BBJ and at Woodlands, and they'll see us here at Suntec. So the band puts on makeup, amen. All right, so, but the idea is that we hear from one another. We are one church, three centers. And we come in consecration to God. And say, God, would you be Lord of our lives? You know, some people say that, well, I've got children. Bring them here early in the morning. Don't ever use your children as an excuse for you not to be in church. Imagine that. We're not here because my kid. Although it could be you. We come and we set the example for our children when it comes to prayer. I've been to a nation where the adults sing with so much passion, that the youth sing with so much passion, and the children sing with so much passion because they see their parents and their youth singing with passion. I've been to a nation where I see the children are praying because the young people are praying, because the adults are praying with fervency. I've been to a nation where the children work very hard, study very hard, pass the exam very hard because the parents are also working very hard. I wonder which nation that could be. That's discipleship. But what kind of discipleship do we want to see in this church? What kind of God do we worship in this church? He is the Lord of all. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of our lives. He is the one who gives life. He is the Word of God. He's the Redeemer, the Savior, the Healer, the Provider. His name is Jesus. And we shall sing His name and proclaim His ways until we see Him face to face in heaven. And there we shall sing the hymn of heaven. As the worship team comes up, we're going to close with this song. It is entitled, literally, The Hymn of Heaven. It is written in such a way there's an imagination of eternity. That when we get to heaven, we shall all sing a hymn. It's a hymn of His story, of His favor in our lives, of His redemptive power and the life that He has given. And it is said in such a way that there will be a day where we will shout the hymn of heaven, that we will proclaim the very name of Jesus. And we can do it here, and we're certainly going to do it over there for all of eternity. But eternity already has started in our hearts because of what Jesus has done for our lives. If you are a believer of Christ, if you are a disciple of Christ, I invite you to sing this hymn of heaven now, because heaven is in our hearts. Eternity is in our hearts. Would you stand with me? We're going to declare about this day, glorious day where we shall see Him face to face. Right now, the Lord invites you to sing to Him right here, right now, this hymn of heaven. To breathe the air of heaven. Breathe in His presence.
I long to breathe the air of heaven.
When pain is gone and mercy fills
us. When pain is gone and mercy fills us.
To look upon the one who bled to
save me. To look upon the one who bled to save me.
And to walk with Him.
Walk with Him for all eternity.
We declare together by faith, there will be a day.
There will be a day when I'll bow before Him. There will be a day
when death will be no more.
Death will be no more.
We shall stand face to face.
Standing face to face with Him done and
rose
again.
Every prayer,
every
this song. It talks about eternity. It talks about the hope that we have in Jesus. It talks about how we're going to join the nations and the generations to all be there. Can you see it? Can you sense it? It will come. This is a verse of faith. You know, faith sometimes makes us look silly on this earth. But that's why it's called faith, because it don't make sense. It's almost irrational to a point. You know what? It's all God. It's Jesus. It's the hope that you and I have in Christ. It's the hope of resurrection power being displayed. Millions of people from around the generations and the nations coming to worship God. As you sing this song, imagine that day. Glorious sound of worship to God. Come, let's sing this together.
And on that day, we'll join the resurrection
and
stand beside the heroes of the faith.
And with one voice,
a thousand generations,
they're going to sing.
Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Let's sing that again. Oh, on that day,
and on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the
you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.